Amen. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12? Exodus chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 31 through 51 tonight. Some advice for winners and losers. So a man was walking along and happened upon a little league baseball game. He walks by the outfield, and this little leaguer outfielder is out there close by, so he yells to him, "What's the score?" And he yells back, 45-0. The man says, "Who's winning?" The little boy says, "They are." The man says, "Oh, that's too bad." The boy says, "Oh, it's no problem. We haven't been up the bat yet." Having played in little league baseball, I can tell you that's a real possibility. Well, it might be an illustration of optimism. On the other hand, there are times in this world when the opposition is overwhelming. But sometimes the losers find it difficult to recognize defeat. This was Pharaoh's problem. He kept losing badly, but wouldn't admit to it. Well, Israel also had some lessons to learn about being the winner. So, Pharaoh refused to acknowledge that God was a worthy opponent. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Pharaoh refused to listen to God's messengers. In chapter 8 and verse 15, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said." He even refused to listen to his own wise men when they wised up. Chapter 8 and verse 19, "Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said." Pharaoh persisted in exalting himself. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 13, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet thou exalteth thou thyself against my people, but thou wilt not let them go." Pharaoh's servants confronted him about recognizing defeat. In chapter 10 and verse 7, "And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" Pharaoh just had a very hard time in letting go. Chapter 5, verse 2, "Neither will I let Israel go." But then there were times he said, "You can go," but he put conditions. Chapter 8, verses 25 through 28, he said, "You can go, but not very far. You have to stay in the land." But then he changed his mind in chapter 8 and verse 32, and neither would he let the people go. Then he said, "Stop the hail, and I will let you go," in chapter 9 and verse 28. Oh, but he changed his mind again, and in chapter 9, verse 35, neither would he let the children of Israel go. Then he says, "Okay, you can go, but only the men." Chapter 10, verse 8. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, everybody's got to go. And Pharaoh says in verse 11, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. But then he changed his mind again. In chapter 10 and verse 20, he would not let the children of Israel go. And still another time. In chapter 10, verses 24 through 27, you can go, but you can't take any animals with you. Well, how are they going to make sacrifices without the animals? But even then, he changed his mind. Chapter 10, verse 27, he would not let the people go. Pharaoh finally recognized defeat when his firstborn son died. Exodus chapter 12, verse 31. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Now, just before this, he had said to Moses, you'll never see my face again. If you do, I'm going to kill you. What happened to that? No, he's been defeated, and he knows it. And he even asks for a blessing to reverse the curse, perhaps. Well, everyone can go now, men, women, children, all the animals. Be gone. And while you're gone, please reverse this curse and bless me. Why does it take something terrible to force some people to recognize that God always wins? And for some, as Pharaoh, by the time they recognize that God always wins, it's too late. Oh, once the firstborn in Egypt died, there was no reversing that. Or how about the rich man in hell over in Luke chapter 16? Let's go over there, just remind us of what took place in that incident. You remember Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. There was a rich man and there was a poor man named Lazarus, and Lazarus would eat the crumbs off of the rich man's plate, and then they both died. Rich man went to hell and Lazarus went to paradise with Abraham. And so the rich man is able to see across a great divide and see Abraham, and he speaks to him. And down in verse 27 of Luke chapter 16, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He wants Lazarus to go back. Verse 28, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And Abraham has said, what's done is done. It's too late. Lazarus isn't going back. You're not going back. And in Egypt, the firstborn is not coming back. The Egyptians wanted the Israelites to leave as soon as possible, back in Exodus chapter 12 and now verse 33. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. The longer you Israelites stay here, the more of us are going to die. Well, the Israelites were prepared to leave in a hurry. They had been instructed. Verse 34, and the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders, per instructions from God, as in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3, Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out. There shall be no leavened bread be eaten. But before they left, the Israelites spoiled the Egyptians. Chapter 12, verse 35, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. It was as if they had defeated them in a military battle and were taking all the spoils. I mean, consider what has happened in the plagues. Their crops have been devastated. Many of the people have been made ill. Some of them have died. Now they're taking their wealth. What's left? Oh, remember back in chapter 3, verse 22, God told them to borrow all of these things. I don't know why he used the word borrow. It was a permanent loan, you might say. So the Israelites left. Chapter 12, verse 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkot. Now, this Sukkot cannot be the same Sukkot where Jacob stayed at a time after being reunited with his brother Esau. That Sukkot was way north of the Dead Sea. We're down in Egypt. The word Sukkot means booths. It was a place where you set up tents. And it was, this Sukkot was directly east of the land of Goshen. It was probably only about 8 miles away. And the reason it is noted is probably that was the first day's journey for the people of Israel. And this Sukkot would be the place where they stayed the first night. It also tells us that Israel has become a substantial nation of people. In verse 37, it says about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. Now, the word men doesn't mean adults. It's males. It's men as opposed to women. So if there's 600,000 men who are able-bodied to walk, doesn't even include the elderly men, doesn't include any of the women, and doesn't include the children. So how many Israelites were there? If there was one woman to every man of the 600,000, that alone would be 1.2 million. How many children? Isn't there normally a lot more children than there are adults? I mean, we could be talking 3-4 million people very easily. But then it tells us in verse 38 that a mixed multitude went up also with them. A mixed multitude. Let's go over to Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 29. We'll go through a series of verses here that are mostly in chapter 17, but we start here in chapter 16 and verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. Go over to chapter 17, verse 8. And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you. Chapter 17, verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you. Chapter 17, and verse 12. Any stranger that sojourneth among you. And verse 13. The strangers that sojourn among you. From Exodus to Deuteronomy, 13 times it notes the strangers that sojourn among you. Now, in that time period, they're in the wilderness. Why all of this mention about strangers that sojourn among you? Because of the mixed multitude that came with them out of Egypt. Remember, there were some Egyptians who got it. Chapter 9 and verse 20, under the plague, when the hail was going to come down upon the people. In Exodus chapter 9 and verse 20, it says, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. So there were some Egyptians who started to get it. And there were more than Israelite slaves in Egypt. And what better opportunity to escape than to mingle yourself among the Israelites and walk right out? Of course, later on, this is going to cause a lot of problems for the nation of Israel. Over in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 4, it says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. Not everyone that escaped with Israel were believers. But in the meantime, hey, why stay with the losers? Let's run with the winning side. Now, when you join the winning team, you have to conform to the rules of the team. Exodus chapter 12, back to that chapter, and verse 49. Exodus chapter 12, verse 49, one law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. One law. Now, verses 43 through 48 that we did not read lays out the rules for observing the Passover as being applied equally for both Israelites and non-Israelites. Both must conform to the same conditions in order to be worthy to consume the Passover. Now, Israel left Egypt on a very special day. In chapter 12, verse 40, it says, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from Egypt. So, what day was it that Jacob arrived in the land of Egypt with 70 members of his household? They came into the land of Goshen, Genesis chapter 46 and verse 28. The day that Israel left Egypt was the day after Passover. The Passover was the 14th day of the first month. It was originally, Exodus chapter 13 and verse 4, called Abib, which means the time of flowers. It's springtime. Later it's changed to Nisan, which means their flight. So Israel left Egypt the day following the day of the Passover, and that would be the 15th day of this particular month. And it was no coincidence that 430 years before this, Jacob arrived in Egypt with his family on the 15th day of this same month. Not a coincidence. That's what God does. They leave in the night, verse 42. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. Now, they left at night, which was actually the next day. It's not any different for us. If we would leave someplace at 11:55 p.m., we would leave on the 14th of the month. But if we would leave the same place at 12:05 a.m., just 10 minutes later, we would leave on the 15th of the month. I mean, I know we don't normally think in terms of nighttime being the next day, but really anything from 12 a.m. on is the next day. Now, they counted it a little bit earlier than we do, but it's basically the same thing. So whatever time it was turned to the next day for them, it was that night after they ate the Passover. But the next day. And it was exactly the self same day that 430 years earlier, Jacob had come into Egypt. Spiritual losers face some serious consequences. The death of Egypt's firstborn can serve as a picture of the eternal consequences people face when they refuse to acknowledge their spiritual defeat because of sin, and when they refuse to join the winning side by placing their faith in the Savior. It takes both of those things. Not just believing in Jesus. There's a lot of people out there pushing what we would term easy believism. Oh, just believe in Jesus. Oh, first you have to acknowledge your sin. You have to recognize you are not only someone who has committed some sins, you are by nature a sinner. And you have to confess that before the Lord and then believe. It takes both. But there's good news. Spiritual losers can easily become winners. Just as many as the Egyptians and slaves from other nations decided to go out of Egypt with Israel, anyone who is willing to acknowledge their defeat because of sin and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and believe in Him can walk free into eternity. It's sad when people are unwilling to recognize their spiritual defeat. And there are many people in this world that resist that with passion. You try to talk to them and convince them that because of their sin, they are absolutely destined to go to hell. And they will not relent. But I trust that you have confessed your sin before the Lord and believed in Christ as your Savior and are now enjoying being on the winning side. We are called more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We are told that He is the one who gives us the victory. What a wonderful victory it is to know that heaven and eternal life is our destiny. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the moment in time when we recognized our spiritual defeat and acknowledged our sin before you and believed in Jesus. Lord, if there is anyone here who has not yet done that, Lord, convict them and bring them to Christ. And use us to be a good witness that through us you might bring others to yourself. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.